This is for Sunday, August the 2nd. But more than a month has passed since I have recorded, because today is actually September the 5th, and the sharpness of the day's events are blurred by the passage of time. But I shall record each day and catch up if I possibly can. We had a late breakfast with much newspaper reading, and then I went up to pick up Lou Engle to drive her to Andrews Terminal, where the big plane was taking the body of the senator and the official delegation to the funeral. She and her brother-in-law and Imelda Dixon and Mrs. Chavis were in the charming little house close to the Capitol, where I remember such a pleasant luncheon for our 81st club, not more than a year ago. Lou was as calm as someone under sedation, but very clear-spoken. It's evident the harassing of the press, the situation as to whether he should resign or not resign from the race, and the long, drawn-out, living on the rack of seeing him in such pain and such undetermined ending, has taken its toll. Perhaps the most poignant little moment was when she was speaking of the things that she must do right away, and she said, "Oh, yes, I must get tags off the car right away. We're not entitled to them any longer." We talked about her return and seeing her again. I told her how brave all her friends thought she was, hugged her, and said goodbye at the foot of the airplane, not going in to meet all those who were attending the funeral. And then, back to find the Wagners, returned from Mass, and Lyndon sitting on the couch with the mayor. They were talking, and to my chagrin, every few minutes, Lyndon would close his eyes, and I could see that he was dropping off to sleep. It's a God-given gift, but not one that I exactly want him to take advantage of. When the mayor of New York is our guest, but the mayor, God bless him, was a considerate man and never seemed to notice. Their oldest boy is attending Harvard, and he's making A's. His father beamed when he spoke about it. He brought us a picture of his wife, Susan. I remember the party she had for me on Gracie Mansion. I thought it was a very delicate and kind thing for him to do. He wouldn't have brought the picture to someone he didn't consider a friend. A little before 4 o'clock, we said goodbye to them on the South Grounds. One of the sons is going to be host of the Democratic Young Folks in New York when Linda Bird comes up for a barbecue in a few weeks. And then at 4:30, in came our next and wonderful batch of house guests, the young Bobby Russells from Georgia. Bobby, Senator Dick Russell's nephew, has been ill, rather seriously ill, I gather, but do not know. I think it might be a malignancy of the stomach. He has the prettiest little wife, Betty Ann, and a house and yard full of children, 5, ranging from a very polite, sweet little daughter of 13 or 14, I believe that was Ann, and the next one was Judy, down to a toothless, grinning 5-year-old who would snare the heart of anybody. We're so delighted to have them, because this is to be sort of a break in their summer of apprehension, I hope. A little weekend of relief from worry about Bobby's illness. I showed them to their rooms, the children running in all directions, and then took them over to see the swimming pool and the bowling alley. They were accompanied by their aunt, Laura Camel, a most remarkable, beautiful, soft-spoken young woman who is a registered nurse and a godsend for a family like that. And then I came back in time to join Lyndon for a walk through Lafayette Park to St. John's for Vespers, the last chance of the day for church. I began by feeling conspicuous and silly and ill at ease as I walk along, accompanied by a growing crowd of tourists, ever so many of whom stick out their hands or call a greeting. But I wind up by feeling I might as well relax and enjoy it, go about my business quite simply, hope they like me, and that know when Lyndon is not along that I will be practically invisible. One of the nice rewards for not being beautiful and striking. We returned in time to be joined by Dick Russell for an early dinner, sitting out on the Truman balcony, overlooking the South Grounds, with Betty Ann and Bob Russell, and that lovely Mrs. Camel, while the children, who had already had their breakfast upstairs in the solarium, were ensconced down in the theater watching a movie. And actually, the movie, the bowling alley, the swimming pool, the dogs, turned out to be their favorite things about the White House, far and above any such thing as the portraits of Franklin Jefferson Washington are the ghosts of greatness and tragedy that stalk this house. It is sad, but I am aware increasingly, the last couple of years or so, that Dick Russell, my hero, the very model of a senator, is being touched by age. But one of the last few times we were together, I am not sure whether it was dinner tonight. There was a moment when he shed 20 years in a second. I was talking about how much I wished I could see this decade of the 1960s sink into perspective. I hope I live long enough to see just what was boiling up in this period, because it might be the dawning of a great new era, one of the fastest thrusts forward that the world has seen since the Renaissance time. Senator Russell looked up with the glow of a 30-year-old man in his eye, and he said, "I do too." It was a delightful evening with some of the people I genuinely liked best and am most at home with.